I thought it would be a good day to read. Some of us, it's been a long time since we've even read the Declaration of Independence. Some of us have never read it. Maybe it's time to read that. So I'd like to start by reading that. I won't read you the whole thing because some of it, a lot of the middle section has to do with the grievances and specifically enumerating what the reasons were why this Declaration of Independence was being written. Basically, what's wrong with King George? So I'm not sure that has that much applicability to us today. But I think the first and the last paragraphs are pretty interesting stuff for us to hear. The Declaration of Independence. A declaration by the representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled July 4, 1776. When, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinion of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light or transient causes, and accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. And Jefferson goes on then to list some of the facts that he considers the support for this Declaration of Independence and concludes, "Now have we been wanting in attention to our British..." Skip that paragraph. "We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these united colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is, and ought to be, totally dissolved, and that, as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and do all things, all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Thus concludes the Declaration of Independence. I also thought, in thinking about what's right with America, that it might be a good idea for us to hear the preamble to the Constitution, because in my opinion, one of the things that's most right about America or the United States, and I would prefer, I think, to use the term the United States, because I think when we talk about the United States as synonymous with America, we're ignoring our friends to the north in Canada, we're ignoring all of Central and South America, who are America as well. So I would prefer to use the term, what's right with the United States. This is the preamble to the Constitution of the United States of America, dated September 17, 1787. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Some of the things, incidentally, I don't think I'm going to read you the whole Bill of Rights, but in my opinion, that's an important part about what's right about America, too. And sometimes we fail to realize what is in the Bill of Rights. It's rather amazing to me to think about the fact that this Constitution was written almost 200 years ago, and was put together by some people that had rather small experience in setting up governments. That isn't something that most of us do every day, and certainly wasn't what Jefferson and the people that were working with him were doing every day, but that they had such foresight that they could establish a form of government that would last us for over 200 years with the absolutely amazing amount of changes that have happened in our nation in that time. For example, the Bill of Rights gives us protection against any government establishment of religion. That's part of the first article, or the first amendment, and permits the free exercise of religion. It gives us freedom of speech, which was particularly brought home to me the other night when our friend from South Africa was telling us about the lack of freedom of speech in his country. And I think that's one of the things that we often don't realize. We take it so much for granted until it's compared with the lack of freedom of speech. We don't realize what a blessing that is. The first article also, or the first amendment also gives us freedom of press, freedom of the right to peaceable assembly, the right to petition our government to redress our grievances. And again, that was brought home to me here at Holden a few days ago after a session on civil disobedience, and a friend who is from Poland brought out the fact that in Poland, the question of civil disobedience isn't such a strong question of conscience because they don't have the same assumption that we do. We assume that the laws have been established for the common good, and they are the laws because of our process that we have at least generally agreed to, or a majority of the people have agreed to. That's not true in Poland, and so the question of breaking the law for matters of conscience isn't such a difficult one in Poland, because there isn't that assumption that the laws are generally for the common good and generally agreed to by all the people. The Bill of Rights also gives us the right to be secure in our persons, houses, and papers and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures. Sometimes that isn't a thing that we think about daily either, but again, it's one of those rights that we take for granted so much. And it would be a very serious change in our lifestyle if that right were not given to us, or that protection. It also gives us the protection of our life, liberty, or property from being taken away by the government except by due process of law. It gives us the right to protections when we're accused of a crime, for example, the right to trial by an impartial jury, and the right to have a lawyer represent us. Again, that's not a kind of a right that most of us think about every day, but again, if we thought about what our society would be like if we didn't have that right, I think it would be very different. It also protects us against cruel and unusual punishment, again, when we're accused of crimes. And it specifically mentions, and I think sometimes this is a part of the Bill of Rights that we have a tendency to forget, it specifically mentions that there are all other rights that are not specifically mentioned in the Constitution and given to either the federal government or the state government are retained by us. And that's one of the amendments that's part of the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, that specifically protects us from having other rights taken away from us, except as the Constitution says they may be taken away from us. So that leaves us a whole lot of rights that are ours, again, that we tend to take for granted just because we live and have lived under the system for such a long time. Now it's the forum time. If you'd like to talk about what's right about America, it also occurred to me that what's right about America is not something that, I mean, we can make a list, if you like, but it's not one of those things that there can be a whole lot of discussion about. I hardly think we disagree very much about what's right about America. I would really like to kind of twist the forum a bit to talk about what's patriotism, because I think that's a question that we can get some discussion going about. And I'd like to hear from some of you about what you think patriotism is and how we act out our patriotism. Do you have comments? Yes.
My comments tend to be a list, but they're also not related, because I think what you describe as being right or important to you describes or your view of patriotism as well.
Mm-hmm.
My first thing was right about America is the price of McDonald's French fries, sugar and caffeine-free pop, off buttons on TV sets, and local friendly forest service that enables Holden Village. Other side of that coin is my equilibrium is in patriotism and on what's right. Is that right a redress of protest?
Mm-hmm.
And that how true American it is to be about that when we are convinced that that is urgent, necessary, the right to disagree, the right to be heard, the right even to disobey.
Mm-hmm.
The second to me is the development of leaders that enabled Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin and even George Washington, certainly with all of the efficiency that we can have in our day, Martin Luther King and Jack Kennedy, or Ralph Nader, the Cesar Chavez, and some marvelous women who lead us. For me, the fourth is the arts, that this country has not neglected them as I think we could have, that it still tends not to emphasize them, because I think the arts have enabled us to be a real country, to my definition. And then that this country emphasizes change by its very political structure. It says it wants to build into the process change every 2 years. In our House of Representatives, every six and every four, and we are forced to prove that. And I think that's as healthy as we'll get in our life.
It's interesting that I've heard comments recently about that very change that you say is a good part, it may be, in the view of some, a detriment to our foreign policy, because they're saying they can't count on any consistent policy in relation to leaders of other countries. That's an interesting question about, is that good or is it bad for our country? If I can interpret, and correct me if I'm wrong, that there is a group in our nation that is calling for a constitutional convention, which is provided for in our Constitution, but my understanding of what that group has intending is to add a new amendment to the Constitution, but the problem may be, or the danger perhaps, would be that it's would be possible simply to take out or perhaps redo the whole Constitution by means of that constitutional convention. We might be opening up a bigger can of worms than we had intended if we do that. But there are people that are proposing that we ought to do that, that we ought to call a constitutional convention in order to change our Constitution. Is that correct? Is that your understanding? Other comments? Questions?
On the question of patriotism, in adult groups and congregations, I found that Christian people who are patriotic but are on different sides of an issue have a hard time accepting the patriotism of the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in a group like this, we could all really work at trying to... Well, when we criticize in the family, for example, we always try to find a positive approach before we have to criticize, but... So often when we criticize our government or one another in a political arena, we put aside that nice convention and we come across entirely negative.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that really helps people move.
That's been my experience too, that there have been people that feel deeply about patriotic convictions. You know, for instance, I feel that I am very patriotic, but I may have very different political views from someone else who also feels that they are patriotic too. That's one of the reasons for my posing the question. I would really like to hear some definitions from you as to what you believe patriotism is. What is being patriotic? Yes?
It's interesting, the words that you read, the Declaration of Independence. I commented to my wife after you finished, they're quite a phrase that fight the words. You know, the people
who
wrote and adopted those words, we refer to them as patriots.
Uh-huh. But they were traitors from the point of view of Great Britain. That's right.
Revolutionary.
Uh-huh. Very true. As a matter of fact, I heard that, I don't know, a few years ago, there were some folks that typed up the preamble to the Declaration of Independence and put it in form of a petition and went around on the streets trying to get people to sign it, and they found very few signatures because it is a very revolutionary document. That was its purpose. That's patriotism. That's an important part of patriotism for you. Mm-hmm. Leave the flag salute in schools, I think is what she said. Yes.
I think patriotism in our day, it started out as nationalism. It was a small world and countries pretty well didn't interact like they do in our day. And I think it's very hard for us as patriots to have that special loyalty that we have to have to a group. Like we come to Holden and everyone who comes to Holden wants to be loyal to Holden's community, and that's good. But if somebody comes in who isn't loyal to Holden's community, we all feel a little uncomfortable and think, what are they doing here?
Mm-hmm.
But I think in our day, we have to combine that with a real loyalty to the world we live in and be willing to give up national rights to some political structure we trust, and we don't know how to do that yet. We don't trust any world political structure. We're afraid that all kinds of other countries can take our rights. And it's a legitimate concern, but I think patriotism is going to have to become more involved with how nations live together under structure instead of the way we live together now.
And I believe there are some who would say that loyalty to a world is lack of patriotism to our country. Yes?
Well, someone some time ago asked, but, you know, what is patriotism? And the definition they gave was patriotism is the last refuge of scoundrels. And so I think patriotism is a very important concept, one that we have to have a very clear understanding of. Otherwise, it can be used to our detriment.
Can you elaborate that on that? How, I'm not sure I see how you think patriotism can be used to our detriment.
Well, I think sometimes it can be equated that certain things which limit our rights are necessary for our so-called good in the interest of national security.
Yes.
I think you don't mind my bringing up Christianity.
I don't think that's an objection.
That there is a connection between people of faith and patriotism as well. And for me, that is not identifying a form of government such as ours, which I happen to like very much, with the Christian faith or with the kingdom of God. But that my vision of what is good for this country and for the world is informed by my faith perception of what God has in mind for not only this country but for the world. And if that is shalom, if it is peace that God wants, then my patriotism as a Christian would be informed by what brings about peace. Now, I know we're not going to agree about what brings that about, but I think that's part of Christian struggle. How do we affirm that this country and what it does is about God's task without making this government a Christian government or whatever, because I would oppose that very strongly, identifying it with the church or with religious belief of any kind directly, but that Christians, because I'm going to speak for myself as a Christian, ought to have his patriotism, he or she ought to have his patriotism or her patriotism informed by the Christian vision of what the world is about.
Yes.
I'm wondering how many veterans of the armed services we have.
Do we see hands? How many veterans of the armed services do we have with us? Yes, you had a comment?
Well, I was just going to say, I think one of the reasons it's identified with militarism so often is that even in Christianity we say the finest thing a person could do for a friend is to die for the friend. And a person who willingly gives up the greatest individual thing they have, their life, out of love for their country is indeed, a demonstration of a height of patriotism. Whether the cause is rightly understood or anything, that motive of that person. But when we have conscription, where people are forced to do something which they're not doing willingly, then, of course, you're not exactly in the same place.
Relates back to, and I'm not even sure what session it was in, but it was one of the sessions last week where we were talking about giving. And I think maybe it was the session on the mercy and justice where it was brought to us that there are certain levels of giving, and the level of giving where you give what you have without even knowing who it's going to is one of the highest levels of giving at all, of all. That would relate to what you're saying, the ability to willingly give up your life or be willing to give up your life for people that you don't even know, but for a principle, is a very high thing indeed. Yes.
I would also ask the question, like in the Vietnam War, refusing to fight was maybe a very patriotic act. When citizens were convinced the country was involved in an unjust war. And I'm uncomfortable with equating obedience in time of war with patriotism. I think the opposite.
It seems to me, if I can make an editorial comment, that there were people who also gave up their life in a way, or they were willing to make a great deal of sacrifice in order to protest against the war because they felt it was an unjust. Yes.
I was going to say that involvement for me is a form of patriotism. And many are having trouble here equating militarism with patriotism. For some, that was an involvement, a commitment. And I think for others, it was a different kind of involvement and a different kind of commitment. And I think those people were probably equally
patriotic as those who were militarily involved. But for both, the issue was felt, I think, equally. And I think that's the strength of our country, being able to be involved, being able to be committed. Those that I feel sorry for are those who are not involved, who make no commitment.
Mm-hmm.
I think the important thing in our country is to make a commitment to be involved.
And in my opinion, that might relate back to what Roger was saying about love. One of the ways we can show our love for our country is being involved in it at whatever level. Mm-hmm. Other comments? Yes.
We had an unusual experience last 4th of July, having been in Berlin. Mm-hmm. And in the morning, we were guests of the mayor of Berlin. They dedicated a kind of historical art museum. And the thrust of this was to say thanks to, particularly to the United States, for all it had done for Western Europe, particularly Western Germany, over the past 20 years. And it was a beautiful big ceremony, lots and lots of people there. And in the afternoon, I went to the biggest 4th of July celebration I've ever seen in all my life. In downtown Berlin. And I came to realize that there are great numbers of people there who are thankful to the people of the United States and America. And all my life I've been reading about those who were unhappy that we were in Europe. But it really isn't so. There are great numbers of people who see the United States as having been in a war there and then coming there and rebuilding the nation. And making it strong. And now there are great numbers of people there, many more than I ever believed, who are thankful. It was a new picture of where the United States is for me. And I had to be there to see it because we wouldn't know it so well.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yes.
I'm back to the Christianity again. Uncomfortable as I have with associating laying down one's life for the country, especially in a military situation, and using the biblical reference for it, is that it seems to me that commitment to the military means also the willingness to kill someone else for that country. And that I have difficulty associating with the line laying down one's life for your sister or brother. It doesn't seem to me any concomitant of being willing to kill and that they have is found at least in the speaking and the teaching of Jesus.
Other comments?
Well, I might just react to that. Often in three people relationships, the concern for someone else requires a choice of action with respect to two people. And so a willingness to die for one person in order to protect that person might even, as the police and so on, be a willingness to destroy someone else. It's an unfortunate situation in a sinful world. But I think, while none of us wish to kill, there are hard choices that people have had to make in order to protect not themselves necessarily, but other people. And a lot of people went to war under that understanding, right or wrong, that was what they were thinking.
Mm-hmm. My understanding of what Dan said was that he respects the previous statement, and I'm sorry, I don't know your name, Ray, as to the importance or accepting the principle of going to war, laying down your life and being willing to kill someone else. But in order to what he is saying he's uncomfortable with is the connection of that to the words of Jesus. Is that correct? Yes.
Seems to be that patriotism is essentially concern for the people that make up the nation, their welfare, their happiness, and their equal and fair treatment. If we understand the Declaration of Independence properly with a concern, not just for political power or prestige or place on the nation of the world, but for the security and safety of the people that made up the colonies. And I think patriotism at its best is a concern for all the people that make up the nation, regardless of race or color or creed, and means equal treatment, equal opportunity, justice, righteousness, and fairness, and the elimination of prejudice. If we allow ourselves to deal with people properly and justly and fairly and caringly, I think then we have a nation which is also concerned about, which will defend itself. But instead we tend to put the military structures first and say, first we must have a strong nation, more guns, more weapons, more this and that, in order to protect the people. But if we put the emphasis on people where it begins, where it ends, I think then we do have a strong and powerful nation. And whenever our nation has committed itself to the care of people, it becomes strong. Whenever we start caring for special interests, or special groups, or special power, military power, we weaken ourselves.
Yes, good definition. Yes.
We've been speaking about patriotism, love of our country, and indeed it is all the interesting things that you've been saying about it, and important things. It seems to me that somehow patriotism in our day needs to move from that love of country and care for all its people to love of God's whole world and the care for all those people. Somehow I think that world citizenship under God needs to inform the nature of our patriotism too. Lift our eyes to a larger vision than simply the welfare of our own country. I don't know quite how that ought to be connected with this, but I can't help but think that way as we talk about our country.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, to attempt to connect it, I would say that from a very pragmatic sense, even if you were a closed vision toward the United States, it is best that we develop a world view for the security and the continuing safety of the citizens of the United States. To have a narrow outlook and not consider the world's needs in the long run is not going to be loving to this country as an individual nation. That is not a way to longevity.
Good point. Yes.
I think patriotism and Christianity have quite a few things that are similar, and I think it's very appropriate that in some of our Christian writings we have what we do and what we do not do or leave undone. And it can relate to what we have not done in Central America, for instance. Are we citizens world or whatever, and in relationship to a killing situation, incident, war, if you can relate it to a crazy individual driving a bus towards a group of 40 children, you have the only rifle. Now, if you kill the bus driver, you don't kill 40 children. So I think there are always decisions that we have to make, whether it be as a nation or as Christians, and it's just not black and white, one side or the other. It's we have to use a pretty good judgment.
If I can add editorial, maybe patriotism is wrestling with those kinds of difficult questions. Other comments? Yes.
To build on that point, I think apathy is our greatest enemy. To continue my theme of involvement, I think that if we struggle with the issues, we have a process in America that's great for letting those issues find, hopefully, the right answer. And it's that process that I think we have to fight to protect. So so that we can and will involve.
Other comments? Yes.
I get from what Ray said before about service to the armed forces, and what was just mentioned about hypothetical cases of driving on the bus driver. I think that we can all at least appreciate the moral dilemma that as Christians such situations put us in, and that at the very least, application of those principles, we should ask our country to put us in those situations as few times as possible.
I would like to go back to something the gentleman back here referred to earlier about the investment that we make in national defensive measures, as opposed to the investment that we make in people supporting opportunities and organizations and structures in our society. I really think that's an awfully important point, because the choice that we make in terms of how to invest our time and money and energy really shapes who we are and what we are in the world. And I feel at least as a part of my Christian responsibility and part to play in this country, that it's important for me to always keep needling the legislators and all the politicians that make the decisions about that, to hold in front of them the needs of the people that I am aware of, to keep after them. And I think that I would like to just propose that we, that as Christians, see that that political action as being an important contribution to make.
Part of the involvement, maybe, that was referred to earlier.
Because I think that it is a monetary choice in everything that is tipping things in our country and not.
Well, thank you. Again, as Elmer says at the beginning and end of every forum, the purpose of this is not to come to any conclusion or to consensus, but to wrestle with the issue. And I think we've done that in a good way. Celebrate Independence Day.